mine's got pages coming up. My cover's pulling out. I'm gonna get rebound. Let's open with hymn number 26.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest iniquity.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, which I have ever offended thee,
and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
O come, let us worship the Lord and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Thank you.
O Almighty and everlasting God, who by thy Son hast promised us forgiveness of our sins and deliverance from eternal death, we pray that by thy Holy Spirit thou wilt daily increase our faith in thy grace through Christ, and establish us in the certain hope that we shall not die, but peacefully sleep and be raised again on the last day to eternal life and salvation. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for this 24th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, the 17th through the 24th verse. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode. And he laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the first chapter of Colossians, the 9th through the 12th verse. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Here ends the epistle lesson. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Hallelujah, hallelujah. With thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Hallelujah. Found in the 9th chapter of Matthew, the 18th through the 26th verse. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come, and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the people were put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Here ends the gospel. Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 590.
Thank you.
grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 54th chapter of Isaiah, the 7th through the 13th verse. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles out of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Let our hearts be comforted in this hour of the world as the death of this entire world draws near, and certainly the death of every man may take him at any time. Amen. Judging from the events of recent years, nature is cold and heartless. Millions die from earthquakes, famines, disease, and floods, and the young and the old are not spared. Looking upon the nature of this world, any honest person must surely conclude that all men live on the edge of death. Any moment, some great and unavoidable disaster could take us. Not to mention the disasters that man himself causes, with his wars and murder, robbery, and the like. Godless men would have to conclude that these things, especially the natural disasters, happen purely by chance. To their minds, they are just more proof that there is no God who cares for man. And that all that we are here on this earth, that we are all here on this earth on our own, with none to help us. But if men really pay attention to the nature of this world, they could not even have that comfort. They could not have the comfort that, after all, it is just random chance and that there is no God behind these events that take place. But if they are honest and study the intricate living things that are here, if they lift up their eyes to heaven and behold the orderly path followed by the stars and the planets, if they open their minds and honestly consider what they see, they will conclude that some God did indeed create these things, and he still preserves and orders the course of the earth and of the universe. But what does that say for all the evil that happens here? Well, since there is such a God, he must be a very angry God who judges men severely. Indeed, even the pagan tribes understand that when there are volcanoes or floods or earthquakes, these are not random events, but God's anger at work. That is the testimony of the law written upon man's hearts. Their conscience is bearing witness to the terrible events that happen in the world and convicting him that God is judging men because of their sins. The Word of God confirms what our conscience tells us. God indeed does judge men for their sins. But such earthly judgments are only the beginning. The final judgment, which must inevitably come upon all men, is death. Death is the wages of sin. All men know they must face it. What lies beyond the grave is not entirely unknown. Men fear death because they know that God will judge them. The fear of death is the fear of hell. because every man is reminded of the certainty of this judgment as he watches death come upon others. And Jesus confirmed these fears when he declared that the day is surely coming when all who are in the graves shall hear his voice, and they shall arise. And they that have done good will go to the resurrection of life, but they that have done evil will go to the resurrection of damnation. And therefore, as fearsome as the earthly judgments of war, famine, disease, and other disasters may be, these are but signs of a greater judgment that is yet to come. This is exactly how God wants us to use those signs of the times. As Jesus instructed us, when some great disaster occurs, we should not ask ourselves, "I wonder what those people did to deserve this." Instead, we should remind ourselves, "Except we repent, we shall all likewise perish." God has promised that in this world, he shall not cease to give men signs of his judgment. The stubborn sins of man will drive him to condemn and punish them with wars and persecutions and natural disasters of every kind. We see it in the history of his own people. The nations that rose up against Israel were not some random occurrence. God himself sent them as judgments. The first of such great signs of God's judgment took place in the days of Noah, when God destroyed with a flood all the children of men, except for Noah and his family. And though God will never again send such a flood, he has promised many other signs. He will continue to punish the world in various ways, until finally he will destroy it once and for all. Not with water, but with fire. We have been given foreknowledge of these things in God's word. The world may take little notice of God's warnings, and they may be surprised and shocked when there are slaughters or devastating tidal waves or earthquakes that take thousands or millions of lives. But we should not be surprised. We should do as Jesus commands when they occur. Look up, for your redemption draws near. What to men is dreadful, to us is a sign of good things to come. Because by faith, we see these things as signs of our salvation. For look who speaks these words. He calls himself our Redeemer. Jesus said, like the budding leaves on the tree, signal that summer is about to begin. So do these disasters signal the coming of our Lord, when we shall have the endless summer of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Look at how it was with the daughter of Jairus. The maiden had died, taken from this world in her youth. What a grievous thing for any parent to have to bear. A reminder to all of us how fleeting life is, how quickly the day of judgment can come for anyone. Around the girl are the mourners and minstrels, hopelessly wailing at such a loss. What good could possibly come of this? And yet, here is Jesus. He sweeps these people aside. He states what seems ludicrous. She is only sleeping. Sleeping? Her breath is gone. Her father said to Jesus, "My daughter is dead." Everybody knows it. And therefore they ridicule Jesus. They have no faith that he can render death, as he calls it, but asleep, and raise the dead, even though by many miracles he had already shown himself to be the Son of God. But yet with a word, "I say unto you, arise," the maiden heard the voice of the Son of God, and she lived. Jesus transformed the sting of death into the hope of the resurrection. Here is a precious hope. That the maiden died confirms what we already know, that we Christians will not escape the suffering and death which comes as a result of sin. But that the maiden lived at Jesus' voice reveals what nature never can. That we have a merciful God who forgives sins and has compassion upon us. And he has provided for us life in his Son, which is sufficient to sweep away any mourning and fear of death, and to turn it into but a sleep, and to bring us out of death into life. How then shall we respond to the signs of our approaching death? Our flesh always responds in fear. It despairs of God's help. That is because God has not revealed his good and gracious will to our hearts, to our conscience, and he has not revealed it in nature. The wonders of the earth and the sky cannot proclaim the love which God has shown to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And our conscience knows nothing of the forgiveness of sins. And therefore, we should not be surprised if we Christians also feel afraid when disaster and death strikes. How then shall we have peace when the world around us is in chaos? Isaiah answers that the sufferings of this present time are a mere moment, a little while. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee. If only we could remember this during the trial of our faith. When we are sick and fevered in the night, it seems as if we suffer for an eternity. We're robbed of sleep and the moments tick on, but finally the morning comes and our suffering is eased. After all, it was only a little while. Just as the morning must come, so also God has ordained that all of our trials here on earth will have an end. They too are only for a little while. For a little while, it seems that God has forsaken us and turned his back because we do not see his constant help. But he assures us, with great mercies, I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. As he did for Jairus, the Lord transforms the pain and groaning of death into the pain such as a woman in labor bears. Because out of that pain comes wondrous life. He is our Redeemer who will not turn away. That mere moment when his face seems to be turned away, by the gospel of Jesus Christ, it has been transformed into a sign of our glorious redemption. He tells us, for the mountains shall depart, the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. God has already set bounds around how much we must endure and how long we must suffer. But look at what lies beyond them. Look at what is past them. There is his mercy and compassion. And heaven and earth will pass away, but his mercy endures forever. We need never despair that his mercy will fail us because our evil is too deep or our sins are too great. For the same Lord who brings our trial to an end is also our Redeemer. That is the name he calls himself by. His mercy endures forever. There is no place it does not reach. It is enough to pay for all our sins and to save us from death. This, the Lord declares, that we endure now is like the waters of Noah. What a great disaster it was when God destroyed the world with a flood. How could anybody survive it? Well, nobody did except for Noah and his family. They were spared. And after that salvation, God gave a promise. Never again would such waters cover the face of the earth. And so it was when our Lord Jesus suffered and died. What death is more horrible than his crucifixion? What good can possibly come of the destruction of God's Son. And yet he arose, and he declared his promise that never again will the wrath of God cover us and destroy us. For Noah, God set his bow in the heavens as a sign of that covenant. But for us, God has given us something far better. He has given us the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest sign of all. Here he declares the everlasting covenant which God has accomplished through the death of his Son. Our Lord Jesus has taken our place. He has borne the rebuke and the wrath of God which would have utterly destroyed us, just as the waters of Noah's flood destroyed the rest of mankind. But now God has laid his anger by in Christ, and there is no more condemnation that might befall us. There is nothing now but everlasting kindness. No more will his anger strike at us, but only kindness and mercy which shall have no end. He promises us here, it shall never depart from us. Yes, this world will be judged. But as Noah was provided an ark, so the Lord has provided his church to protect us from the destruction which is coming upon the world. The mountains and hills shall crumble, but the kindness which God has shown to us in his Son will never depart. Scripture declares that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And this is not a sign that God gives us with these words, but he reveals his mercy in exacting detail. The promise made in Isaiah is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our everlasting covenant peace. So we who are afflicted and tossed about and not comforted, remember the promise which God fulfilled in Jesus. He has so perfectly reconciled us to God and redeemed us from our sins that he has already prepared a place for us in heaven. But he brings that heavenly place down to us on earth, even now. His kingdom is ready. The golden streets are laid out. The foundations of his house are covered in jewels. The walls and gates are fashioned out of gemstones. We do not have to wait to go to heaven to partake of that blessing. The jewels of his grace are before us now. He feeds us with the eternal waters already in this life through his word and sacraments. Here is our peace and our refuge from a chaotic world. Here we may learn of his love for us and his everlasting mercy. And here our children shall also come to know the peace of the Lord, to rejoice in his salvation. That is his promise to you, to your children. May God now grant us this peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, of whom and through whom and to whom are all things, to thee be glory forever and ever. We thank thee for all thy blessings, for our creation and for all that exists, for the priceless gifts and endowments of body and mind, for thy daily provision for all the necessities of life. But most heartily do we thank thee for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom thou hast saved us from wrath and appointed us to obtain salvation and eternal life. Grant that we may be filled with his Spirit and produce the fruits of faith, so that when he shall come in his glory, we may be received into his eternal kingdom. And as thou wilt make manifest the counsels of all hearts, reveal to us our exceeding sinfulness and lead us to repentance. Cleanse and purify us by thy grace, that we may be absolved from all our thoughts, words, and endeavors, that we may love and serve only thee. Sanctify all our thoughts, words, and endeavors, that we may love and serve only thee. And finally, in the day of judgment, may we be comforted unto the image of thy dear Son. Open our eyes to see that Christ the Bridegroom from heaven is near, so that we might labor with diligence in proclaiming thy word with all boldness, that multitudes may be saved to the glory of thy holy name. Have dominion over all the nations of the earth, and bless our own land. Guide those who are in authority with thy wisdom, that they may rule with humility, serve with uprightness. Defend our homes from the corrupting influences of the world, the devil, and our own flesh. Keep our parents in the faith, loving and honoring one another, and our children in affectionate obedience, growing in grace and favor with thee. We pray for all sorts and conditions of men, but especially for the afflicted. Lift up the weary and the wounded. Touch the sick and the diseased. Strengthen the aged and the infirm. Give hope to the depressed and anxious. Guard the imperiled and oppressed. And by thy mighty power, give them in Christ Jesus light for their darkness and joy for their sadness. And now, O God, who wilt once more shake the heavens and the earth, but who hast given us a kingdom which cannot be moved, grant unto us steadfastness and patience, that when thy Son shall appear, and all his holy angels with him, we may be clothed with his righteousness, and inherit the heavenly city which abides forever. In his exalted name we pray. Amen. We sing hymn 137. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. That of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn 53. be with you. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.